Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey guys, I'm Candice.
And I'm Sorrel.
And you're listening to Closet Confessions. If this is the first time you're listening to the pod, the simple premise is myself and Sorrel gather in my closet to get some things off our chest and you get some things off of your chest too. But first, girl, you know what we gotta do.
These are my confessions. Just when I thought I said all I could say, my chick on the side says she got one on the way. These are my confessions.
My confession is my head is still with the last confession.
Okay, so we need to give context because that last confession was part of a mini-sode. Basically, a cousin wrote in and revealed that after years of devout wifely duties, being loving and caring towards her husband.
And begging for him to have sex with her.
Begging for him to have sex with her. He was hesitant and didn't want to. She then found out that he'd then get sick. And the reason for his sickness is that he has HIV. And when she had written in to us, she was 4 days post finding out and had been tested, but no results had come in. When I tell you it spun us for a loop, Candice literally fell to the floor.
I think we could quantify that as fainting.
Literally.
I felt so lightheaded.
Yeah. To be fair, I did want to add this at the end of the mini-sode. I think I've said it before on the podcast, but I'm going to say it again. Whether you are in a marriage, committed relationship, whatever, you must be getting tested for STDs and STIs every single year, without a doubt. I know somebody's going to be like, but that means I don't trust him. No, it doesn't mean that. Mm-hmm. What it means is people are people and you fall into temptation and you get weak. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, regardless of your weakness, regardless of whether I forgive you or not because of your weakness, mm-hmm. I will not die. I will not allow my health to be impacted because you had a moment of weakness. There was a woman who told me this advice and it has stuck with me. And she said every single year, she has been married for 30 years, every single year she goes, her and her husband, hand in hand, to the clinic. They both get tested. They both see the results every single year. And instead of making it like, I don't trust him, make it open in your relationship. Make it a tradition in your relationship. But it holds everyone accountable. And also, there is a world in which where you can catch chlamydia on a toilet seat. Just saying. So I'm just saying. I'm just saying. The unthinkable can happen. It doesn't always have to be, you know, sexual deviancy. But I wanted to say that at the end of the episode. So yeah, that would be my advice. Go and get yourself tested.
Because if they had been testing frequently, they could close in on a window.
Yeah.
And what she's going to struggle to do and where he could potentially gaslight her or flip the entire script.
Is I had it before we got married.
Oh, I pray she's negative.
I pray to God.
I pray.
Honestly, like we said, she will be fine. It was one of those confessions where we also felt like we were of no help.
So ill-equipped. Because you're writing in shock. We're now in shock.
Yeah.
A good 10 minutes of that was me just lying on the floor, Abby trying to catch the camera, you screaming down the place. Like,
there was a whole thing happened. That's what also makes it worse because it's like, I want to help, but there's nothing I can actually do really or say.
Yeah. Okay. Do you have a confession?
Okay, I'll go first. Let me try and bring up the mood. No pressure. My confession is I am one minor inconvenience away. From joining HBCU. I had the acronym confused me. Dyslexia kicked in. I wanted to say HSBC. HBCU.
I want nothing more for my kids.
Candice.
I want an Alpha Kappa Gamma Psi. I want an Alpha Kappa Gamma Psi.
I want my kids to do the little
shuffle with the little
shuffle. For those of you who don't know what HBCU is.
Condensing HBCU.
I know, to just shuffle and a stick. I keep saying HSBC.
Historically Black College University.
I think.
Yeah.
Was set up in America because obviously segregation, yada, yada, yeah. There was a time in which where Black students could not go to
normal white
universities. So they set up their own with faculties of people who looked like them, et cetera, et cetera. Now they are staples within Black culture.
So for pop culture reference, Beyonce's whole Coachella show was an homage to the HBCU.
Yeah, the community.
She took us to the HBCU.
Exactly. Oh. The trumpets, the drum lines. And when I tell you, being Black and growing up in the UK, yes, there was a lot of like Black British influences, but a lot of my Black stuff that I would see on TV,
I think all of ours, we can blanket that.
Yeah,
was Sister
American.
Sister,
everything.
Moesha, yes. Like that, Kenan and Kel,
yes,
we gobbled
one on one.
Oh
my wife and kids, all of it. Oh. So like a lot of my reference points are just American Blackness, and when I would see those HBCUs, I would be filled with such joy. And I remember thinking to myself, like, I know people want to go to like Yale and Harvard. Nah, babe, I want to go to HBCU.
Yeah.
I want to join a sorority.
Yeah.
I want to be able to do the little shuffle and step.
Yeah.
I want to do the little, you know, the gamma, gamma, out, gamma, gamma, out, gamma, gamma, out, gamma. I want to do the little step in.
And let me tell you something. Those boys are
fine. Oh my God.
Them little stepper motherfuckers,
they be so...
Is it the stepping? I don't know. Or the motherfucking...
But it's some. They are good looking Black
when
men.
When they put on their Black Tims and they're just leaning to the...
Yeah, yeah.
And then most of them going to be surgeons.
Yeah. Ah!
Cheeks me unbroken.
Did you... Please. Did you ever watch Stomp the Yard?
Did I?
Listen.
Did I?
Listen. When I tell you, I never wanted to step so badly in my life.
Oh.
Get me a gumboot and a step. Get me a gumboot and a step. I'll show you a step or two.
Honestly.
But I just want to go do like a master's over there or a
PhD. Like a little sprinkle.
Like a little sprinkle. Like I love learning. I
No, you're not having a whole pitch. That turned into a CV. I love learning.
I truly love learning. I think education is the cornerstone of our society. And I want to be able to learn amongst my peers in my community. I won't be paying for it, so I'm looking for a full scholarship. If anyone works at HBCU or HSBC, both could help. I'm ready, willing, and available. So.
No, I feel that. And I think that's why, because I often get the kickback to, why would you leave London to move to like the Shires to then move your kids to New York? I am hell bent on the belief that their Black cultural experience is going to be richer there. I just know it. It's not even up. I just know that they're really going to get to like double down on their Blackness and somewhere like that.
What you, especially with that trajectory path that you want to do with your kids, what's great is they get their Afro-Caribbean culture at home.
Yeah.
They have the London culture as well.
Yep.
And then they have London culture at home. Then they have the Shire culture. They've tasted that life.
Yeah.
And then they go and experience another wealth of, I think it makes for well-rounded.
And also, you can make a choice when you're an adult.
Oh,
do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You might want to come back to Shires.
Yeah,
you might prefer London.
Yeah.
You might, but I'm like...
Singapore.
You're not afraid
of it anymore.
Yeah, I know we always have these unmatured conversations about the diaspora on Twitter.
Yeah.
And you know, this won't be the social media clip, so you have to get context. I just really do think African Americans are better placed to feel richer and more supported about their culture. And there is historical context to that, given that many of them feel as though they get to know more, especially as a Black Caribbean person, second generation, third generation. Sometimes the history feels so cut up. I was born here and we don't particularly have much education about African slavery in the UK by way of us just coming. Like we go to Jamaica and then there's Windrush. So it feels very broken. African Americans are like,
we came from there.
I came from right there to right here. My granddaddy lived there. My great granddaddy bought that farm.
Yeah, yeah.
There's something so enriching about it.
It's funny because my experience, your experience is different because I wasn't born in the UK.
Very different.
Very, very different.
Yeah.
So for me, I feel super connected to like history and ancestry. Like, not even connected. I grew up there.
That's my
home.
It's the same for Bode.
Yeah.
He's like, he's so super connected.
Super connected.
It was like the first 20 years of my life while I was at home. He always says he was able to come here with his eyes wide open.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. And I feel like for me, I mean, obviously I grew up in Britain, so I kind of had the best of both worlds. But I remember distinctly my dad saying when we were growing up, out there, you're in the United Kingdom. In here, you're in the Democratic Republic of Zimbabwe, which is not it's literally not a country. He made that up. But like, he was basically like, out there is one thing. In here, we have a set of rules because we've come from Zimbabwe like only last week. So you can't expect things to shift and change and your culture to dry up.
Exactly.
And I know obviously it's really difficult. Like this conversation always comes up. It's difficult their history because that is their country that they built.
Literally.
Off of the back of Black Americans, America literally was built, right? And they also feel this disconnect. And I understand their frustration sometimes when people are like, you know, the question of where are you from hits differently when it comes from, like you're saying, you were born here. So like, how do I? I feel like they have such solid roots in Black culture, American Black culture, that they have curated themselves.
Yeah.
That is so enriched because it's also different in different parts of America. Like you've got Atlanta Black culture, you've got New Orleans Black culture, you've got New York Black, like, but it's all enriched.
Whether America, speaking as if it was a person, wanted to or not, they have had to be more honest about the education, the trials and tribulations that brought Black people to their shores.
Yeah.
England is still in nursery with that one.
England is still in Delulu land.
Yeah.
Where they're pretending it didn't happen.
Didn't happen.
Or
they had nothing to do with it.
Or they were the saviours.
We're welcoming. Everyone's welcome. Yeah. So it's like...
The history when it comes to like slave trade... It's so funny because have you been to the museum in Liverpool?
No, never.
First of all, my parents took me there when I was like 9. So my parents just love dumping some trauma on me. Let me tell you that. There was no need for me and my little brother to be at that museum. It is the most depressing thing ever. However, it's super educational. Basically, it's at the docking station.
The
port.
Yeah.
And you go in, and when I went, this was years ago now, you would follow a slave, like a child. They would give you like a ticket, you follow like their story through.
Oh
and
my God.
You come out, and then you've got people, obviously it's in Liverpool, like, hiya, da da da. And you're
kind just
of like,
slap a bitch.
Well, you're kind of like, you actually don't even like, the museum's right there, but school doesn't teach you.
Yeah.
There's this like weird place of like, yeah, it happened, but we didn't partake, or yeah, it happened.
Black British people specifically have to go out of their way
to find
that those resources.
Find education about it, resources about it. And that's why I love like my TikTok algorithms during like the BLM movement, like when it was at its height in like the 2020. It was all just like us learning about these little pockets of Black history. And I know American Black history like the
more,
back of my
more
hand.
More than I know.
More than Black British history.
Of course.
Rosa Parks, MLK. I can tell you the timeline. I can tell you Sojourner Truth. Harriet Tubman.
I can tell you who these men were cheating on.
Can tell you upon tell you. Mm. Here, I can't name one person. Here, like, as in back then. Like, you have to literally go out of your way to find the education behind it. And that's what makes it so almost dystopian, because it's almost like...
The gaslighting is
which
real.
Is why, I do really thank Americans for like the way they pushed for Blackness and even for it to be on our televisions, because I actually don't know what sense
God, because
of
we
self.
Had what, Biker Grove
and
Grange Hill?
Grange Hill. And what was that other one? Desmond's.
That was all we had. And I can't remember who I was having this conversation with the other day, but I said in some aspects, when it comes to British terrestrial TV, we've gone back instead of going forward in our representation of Black British people. Because it wasn't just Desmond's. We also had a comedy show called The Real McCoy. We had, do you know what I mean? We just had more.
We had more. And also like, don't get me wrong, fantastic show, but like shows like The Top Boy. Where, again, representation is key.
I love Top Boy, but you're showing us one lens.
Exactly.
And it's a lens that they like to repeat in Black British media.
Exactly.
Like thug, gunslinging.
Exactly.
Desmond's, that man just was a fool that loved his family.
Yeah.
Do you get...
Yeah.
And he had his own business.
Yeah. And that was way more relatable to the masses than thug gang life.
And we don't have that. I feel like I do feel like, and I know this is a current conversation in the UK and in the US, I do feel like to be greenlit with a show right now as a black person, it has to be trauma laden.
Yeah.
No one's getting greenlit on just Bants and Joy. Yeah. We're actually seeing those kind of shows be cancelled for black people in the US right now. Yeah. It's just not happening.
I think I've spoken about this. That was one of my confessions. I refuse to watch trauma shows, movies, anything that isn't surrounding black joy. Yeah. I'm not watching it. I have a profound respect for David Kaluuya, but I'm not watching Queen and Slim. There are certain things that I'm just like, I'm actually not putting my money behind.
One of my favourite films.
I'm not putting my money behind it.
Just heartbreaking.
Yeah.
From start to finish.
I can't.
One of my favourite films.
I personally don't want to do it. I want to see us in spaces where it's fun or funny.
Or we're soft.
Or we're soft.
Or we're overcoming.
Exactly. We're empowering.
Yeah.
There is, and I'm not saying that there is no trauma in blackness, right? But that is not all we are.
And that's all we get sold. It's all that gets greenlit.
Speaking of greenlit, we wanted to talk about Mr. Tyler Perry and...
Because I've not watched
Netflix.
It.
Now I've seen it.
Is it on UK Netflix? Well, duh. So I need to watch it.
Yeah.
Okay, I need to watch
it. What I will say is... Watch it with an openness.
Yeah.
Watch it all the way through.
Uh-huh.
And then let me know what you think. That's all I'm going to say.
Hmm.
Kelly Rowland looked beautiful.
That's just standard.
A given.
She just breathes.
That man was, you know, hunky.
Yeah.
No. I'm so sorry. I don't mean disrespect.
Not you grappling at straws.
I don't mean disrespect. His name slipped me. But like, and he's a great actor. What I will say is this. Tyler Perry. All due respect, and one day we shall work together. I just want to preface that. I think we should let the pen down and leave the quill, the writing to those who...
The letter formation instrument.
Let's leave that to those who are...
On mute.
That was Shonda unavailable? I just want to know. I have questions.
Auntie Shonda.
Because the dialogue left me questioning things.
There's such complexity with Tyler. There's such,
so many.
There's such
layers. Complexity
with the work that Tyler creates. I will broaden this and say, because maybe this is my confession. Okay, first of all, my confession is I have stopped liking white people's content when they're doing black things. So when I see a white person from Liverpool doing a Yardie dance,
absolutely.
I just swipe.
Absolutely.
I no longer engage with this, Prince Oyinbo vibe.
Yeah.
When a white
you're
person...
You're invited to the cookout.
Shut. You are absolutely not. You're absolutely not. Rebuked. Redacted.
My uncle is beating you up should you come to the door.
You are not coming here.
You're not invited
with the
to the cookout.
Raisins in your potato salad. No. You are not welcome here.
No.
And I want to see black people in this lifetime really double down on knowing that we are good enough by ourselves.
Yeah.
Not needing to be so welcoming and allowing people to the cookout. So that's my confession. When I see white people doing what I believe to be black things, I'm just swiping by. I'm not giving you the engagement. I'm not boosting it. I'm not giving it the time of day. And I think we all should be doing that. On the flip side, I am also not bigging up things just because they are black.
Perfectly said.
I am no longer in the business of bigging up things just because they are black. I have not watched, and this is mad, I have not watched a Tyler Perry title since he was on stage.
What?
Bro. So when my man used to do the theater things and the man selling the DVDs in the barbershop will come round and I buy the little fake DVD, that's when me and I know of things, I've seen clips of things.
You haven't seen Acrimony
or...
What about the one with Janet Jackson? So you doing the bending? Oh, so you're the one doing the bending.
Oh my gosh, I've seen that. Is that Just Got Married?
No.
Oh, well then, no.
No, Why Did I Get Married 2? That one's good. That's the one you're on about. But that's not the one I'm talking about. She's in that as well. Oh no, it is that. Where the husband is...
I tell you, and I believe it's Tyler Perry. Someone's going to correct me. I went to the Ritzy Cinema in Brixton. It was me, Redacted, Florrie, and Yasmin. I remember it so clearly.
I love a good Redacted.
Remember it so clearly. four black, young black women of all different hues. And we went to see Four Coloured Girls.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
And we left so tragically heartbroken. Yeah. I said, absolutely motherfucking no. Here is my issue. And it is not just with Tyler. There are many people playing this game. This desire to capitalize on black female trauma, I shall not be privy. I shall not take part. We deserve better.
Yeah.
We deserve better stories. Our younger black girls watching deserve inspiration and aspiration. And again, it links back because in For Colored Girls, didn't she get AIDS? I've got enough going on, baby. So, you know, this isn't to say that Tyler and people like him aren't doing well at what they do and they shouldn't be applauded for it. As usually the front runner of these shows and the person expected to be the main consumer, I tap out.
You know what I think with Tyler? I think he has done such a great job of creating jobs, putting black faces on television, right? What I think his new model should be is he bankrolls and he gives the directing and the writing to talented black young artists who are up and coming, hungry for it. Because when he was writing his own stuff back in the day, you could tell like he just loved what he did. Granted, the storylines aren't for everyone, whatever, whatever. But I think you are now at a point where you can just be the bankroller, because the problem is we struggle to get funding. Our stories, the ones we want to be told, struggle to get funding. You have the funding. You have
the studio space.
You have the studio. Just invest. And a wealth of creation can come out of that. This new movie that's on Netflix, I will say, isn't black trauma. It's a high power lawyer, Kelly Rowland, fighting a case against a black man who's been accused of something, and they fall in love. It's like a dark, sensual situation. There's a couple scenes in there. I said, Miss Kelly Rowland.
Rowland.
They was humping. They was humping, man.
How do you fake those scenes?
Okay. So I was watching it with my boyfriend.
And yeah.
He literally was like, pause. So if you get asked to do a role like this, what are we doing?
How do you fake those scenes?
You fake them. You're an actor. He may get hard.
Because now this is so off piece, yeah. I've got one little friend who's in one little show. He's not little, and the show is not little either. But in it, in his real life, he is a straight man. And in it, he is very much a gay character.
I think I know who you're talking about. I didn't know you knew him.
Very well. We went to dinner the other day.
Shut the fuck.
And it took everything in me at dinner.
I'm not asking.
I walked up to the dinner having this question searing my heart. I might even just WhatsApp him today because I know he won't be offended. But I was like, you see when you're up in that coffin, humping that man, what it do? No, because I'm just as like a watcher, I'm so intrigued. I'm like, no, they really be going at it.
You just do it.
And I'm not a guy, so I cannot conceptualize this. And I know some people are like, Candice, this feels so terribly immature.
Okay, go on.
But what if I get hard?
They do. Oh, you mean...
Come on, keep up.
The twinkle came after. It came after.
That's not how I flow in my real life.
I mean, and yes, but also that piece of anatomy does what it wants to do.
It does what it does, isn't it? Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
So it's almost like you can't let that
You can't
define...
tie that to anything.
Yeah.
Felt. But I see how co-stars be falling in love.
Yes. So I feel like I'm literally having this conversation with my boyfriend right now.
I see how they be falling in love.
Obviously, there is a world in which the lines and whatever can be blurred. But for the most part, you have an intimacy coach on set.
Oh, wow.
And you go through to the bare bones, the motions. There is nothing that happens that hasn't been pre-planned. So like when I had my kissing scene, it's almost like I'm going to put my hand here and then my hand's going to go
so
here.
Oh, it's so forced that you don't...
There's no passion about it.
You have to think everything through.
But it's like, it's almost like a dance. You've choreographed
everything. What if the director yells cut and people ain't cutting? Boy!
Oh, well then... It's getting on, you know? And I'm sure that's happened. Like, and there are also some actors who are like, because I'm a method actor. Uh-huh. Shut up. you know, I really want to commit. So they will be like butterball ass naked together, romping and pumping. Like things are, uh-huh. yeah, almost the borderline porn. Yeah. Sometimes some actors are like, I
they
really
do it.
Commit. Yeah, they want to commit to the role. I don't think we need to do all of that. You can
because they stupid ass.
There's like little panties.
That's what I was gonna say.
Like,
yeah, that they can edit out.
Yeah. There's a way of doing it where you're literally not absolutely genitalia to genitalia. Yeah. Okay. All right. There's no need for that, no love. All right. Let's keep your balls to you, and I'll keep mine to me. My vagina, not my balls.
How did we even get here? We went from Tyler Berry.
I know, right? But I want to know what he says though.
Yeah, I'm gonna message him today because I know he won't be offended at all.
No.
But I'm like, dude, those are some scenes, bro. Yeah.
And that's why also, I'm not gonna lie. If you're like in a relationship, there are just some roles you cannot take.
Felt.
There are just some roles you can't take. There are some and. The type of actor that like I would like to be is a character actor. There are some people who get typecast. They always play sexy. They always play good looking. They, you know, they always play a certain type of. So you know, every role you're gonna get, I'm gonna be have to be lips in some girl or humping some, because that's just how I get.
Yeah,
character actors like a Viola, she can play a mother, a lawyer.
Yes,
she morphs herself into these characters.
Yeah,
that is the type of actor I would want to be. But yeah, you just can't be taking roles if you know. You know, you're gonna have questions to answer if you be humping in a coffin. We went everywhere with that.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Spring is my favorite time to start a new workout routine. With the weather warming up, it feels easier to get into the rhythm of things. Whether you have 20 minutes or an hour for a Pilates class or outdoor guided walk, Peloton has everything you need to help you get going. Get a head start on summer with Peloton at onepeloton.com.
Guys, it's time for a cousin confession. Give your confession a title. I don't know why I'm so jealous of everyone. Hey, Candice and Sorrel. I hope you guys are amazing. Love your podcast and everything you guys do. Context, I'm Kenyan, 21 years old, firstborn daughter. For some reason in my life, I've always found it hard to be happy for other people, happy to be others. Maybe it's because as a firstborn daughter, I'm essentially on my own and I don't want anyone to rely on me. Anyways, recently I found myself sabotaging my friendships. I crave closeness, but I push away anyone who gets close to me. But when I see them with other people, I get so jealous. It also applies in professional work. I'm so jealous of the opportunities my friends have. But for some reason, it always feels like life isn't on my side. I just want to live in abundance. I want to be soft, guys. I just don't know what to do because I wasn't born into wealth, but I'm determined to change my story. The jealousy doesn't come off as they don't deserve it. It's more like, when will it be my turn? I just started using ARCS formations that Candice recommended, and I hope I see a change. What can you recommend for my situation? How do I live without life happening to me? Love you guys. Thank you for being such a voice and vessel for healing Black girls.
Wow. Sorry, that ending. Wow.
I really rate the fact that you know how jealous you are of people right now. I think that's a very, especially at 21, that's a very grown up
That you can identify note. That.
Yeah.
And also you can identify that it's not jealous of this, as in like they're not deserving of it, but more so that when will it be me or that, you know, what you said. We've spoken about jealousy before, but I feel like this one's slightly different in the sense that what I'm hearing from this confession is a sense of wanting to be in control. And I don't mean that in a bad way, but you're basically asking, how can I take life by the horns and get what I want without looking at what other people are getting and then being like, when will it be me? I wish I knew what profession you were in. I wish I knew things like that. But I would personally say, start small with the things you can control. Start, if it's cultivating joy, start small. If it's having more relationships, if it's dating, if it's, I think sometimes we have the big picture in mind and it's like, I want to be married with three kids and live in a mansion and be
and when
earning
you get there,
X,
you're
Y,
still
Z.
Gonna want something.
Exactly. Else. Start building the foundations of what will help you be content but not complacent.
Absolutely. And it's so good that you mentioned that, because cheeky plug, in my next book, Manifesto, I talk about how we sometimes confuse happiness with contentment. And actually, contentment is that steady hum. And happiness is like sometimes the odd tidal wave or tsunami. And I think people confuse the two. You know, happiness isn't that steady hum. Contentment is. And it's contentment that is going to keep things like jealousy at bay. So it's about first and foremost learning how to be content. And the way manifestation works, you get nothing without already being content with what you have. Showing ultimate gratitude for what you have then spiritually just opens up space for more good things to flow in your life. It's like always cussing out your first Fiat 500, saying, oh, I'll stop cussing my car when I'll get a Bentley. You ain't never going to touch that Bentley, boo. Because you've never respected where you're at now, and it's all part and parcel. I just think you need to be very, very wary of that also. And I hate to be the bearer of bad news, life is meant to suck when you're 21.
Oh my god, so glad you said it.
It's like watching 10-year-olds buy Drunk Elephant. You're supposed to have acne, so if you lot don't buckle down and go through a fucked up phase, like we all did, I'ma punch y'all. Because this community vibe of trying to skip steps.
And the thing is, the steps are necessary, because you will enter your 30s, your 40s, and be a shell, a void, because you haven't gone through the experiences.
You don't have the tools in the toolbox, baby.
You need to sharpen yourself, and you sharpen yourself by going through a couple battles. You got a
21.
21 is young.
21.
And also, another thing, get off social media.
Absolutely.
Get off social media.
Right now.
Immediately. Because I know probably what you're seeing is posts of, oh, happy 43-year anniversary.
I think so little of this is in real life.
No, exactly.
And I hate to, like, this is me being very presumptuous, but I think so little of this is in real life.
You're watching the highlight reels of people's lives, and I'm not being funny, but anyone can make a highlight reel out of anything.
And also, I was reading, this book by my friend Kevin, who I think I spoke about. I can't remember. I'm so confused right now. But he's got a book coming out called Black Women Always. And in there, he has an interview with Julie Adenuga. And Julie basically talks about the fact that all we do on social media is show off.
Yeah.
That is...
The purpose of social media.
That is like the tagline of Instagram.
Yeah.
Come here to show off.
Yeah.
Come here when you've got a big announcement, or you've done this thing, or you've done... No one is showing the grind and the graft and the grit. And as someone who was 21, who was, don't worry, they're all redacted now, but who was frequently judged by friends for not being where they were.
Yeah.
So Let's talk about it. Because between the ages of 21 to 25, most of my friends were delving into longer term relationships. They'd gone to uni and I hadn't. They'd got a couple of feet on the career ladder, and it was very much snooty tooty. Oh, when is Candice gonna get her life together?
Candice. Let me tell you something. Okay, bearing in mind, I've known I wanted to be an actor since I was young. That means jobless.
Straight.
That means
for
jobbing.
For a long time.
That
waitress, cleaning, caring, whatever.
Bar work, you
whatever.
Name it, I've done it.
Picking up shifts so you can get to auditions in the day.
Exactly.
Yes.
Dropping a job because there's an audition that could be your big break,
and then applying for another job the next day. Yes, but
been there, done
that. One with the job centre.
Yes, me and the job centre, friends, buddies, if you will, companions through life, okay? And I had friends, again, redacted.
We are going to get... See, do you see how merch just comes to our minds?
Redacted.
We are going to get jumpers with black lines and the white lettering redacted.
Redacted, yeah.
Literally.
Just that.
Redacted.
Redacted. Nothing else has to be said. And when you see it, you know it. Okay? But I had friends who, again, were on the property ladder.
Yes.
Where were...
On that homogenous trajectory, yes, of success.
Success. Had a dog. Yes. Had a partner.
Doggy dead.
Divorced. They are
Multiple divorces.
Multiple divorces of girls I went to school with.
Got the receipts.
So... Your 20s.
Just by the way, guys, this isn't us throwing salt in the wound.
No.
It's just us making life experience based comparison on how quickly life can shift in the wind.
Listen. Okay? And they also have gained their experiences that they need to take them into their 30s or their 40s. The thing is, like, you can't skip these steps.
You can't.
Regardless of how successful someone looks, regardless of how successful someone seems, you cannot skip the steps because. With every knock you get, you are learning something. There are things that would make me quiver in my boots at 22.
Oh, my God.
I would be shook to my core.
That I do now without a second thought.
That I do now.
And there are things that make me shook now that I know ain't going to scare me at 40.
Exactly.
But you cannot skip the steps.
You cannot skip the steps.
With those steps, it's not always like public embarrassment. Sometimes it's just looking around and feeling as though.
Yeah.
Not knowing, not being. I said... Feeling as though everyone is on an upward trajectory and you're just stuck.
Yeah.
Some people are on an escalator they don't even want to be on.
Yep. There are people. How many times have you heard people who say, I had a job, I worked my way up the company, and at the age of 42, at the age of 42, I decided I was going to go live in Guatemala. I was going to travel.
I was going to do van life. Every two in one, like everyone is talking this
life
right now.
My parents made me do law, so
we
I ended up being a lawyer.
We get to the middle of the ladder and we realize it's all a crock of shit.
Yes. And we're figuring out as we go along. And all you can do is do what makes you happy.
In that moment.
And the second it stops making you happy.
You get on another escalator, baby. There's plenty more available. You start again.
My mum loves to say, redefine. As a woman, you have to constantly be redefining.
No, that is so fucking sexy.
Redefine. You can't be...
Every time you think you know me, I must redefine.
You think you know me?
Redefine.
My mum says it all the time.
Redefine.
Because you can't... There is... In this world, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow.
Pivot. Make it exciting. You don't have to leave the job, but pick up a new hobby. Take a new route. Go to a new bar, baby. Pivot.
If you want to up and leave the country, up and leave your city, do it.
Do new things.
And I also think there's a part of like your 20s where you're so afraid of things that like adults have made you scared of. Like, don't get me wrong, debt isn't fun, but we all fucking have it. A mortgage is just a debt that's made to look sexy.
Bro.
We're all in debt.
Thank you.
We all have it.
Thank you.
Okay.
And some debt is categorized as good
debt.
And some
bad debt.
Well, that ASOS dress back when I was 25, it did kind of hit.
Listen, debt is debt.
Bro.
Money comes and goes. Life experiences are life experiences. You just have to experience them. Because otherwise, if you are stuck in this place where you're like, why them? Why not me?
You've frozen yourself in time at this
Literally.
Point. Okay.
Literally.
And you're going to be really looking at your clock until it run out of batteries of you saying, when will it be my turn?
Yeah.
Guess what, baby? It's not your turn because you're not even on the fucking wheel.
Yep.
You're not on the wheel.
Yep.
You are standing at the gate, and every time the empty Ferris wheel gets to your point, you're so busy looking at someone else's little swinging Ferris bit that you're missing your get on point.
Yep.
You're not on the wheel
because
you're not paying attention to you.
And while they're up there on that wheel, they're hyperventilating because they're afraid of heights.
Lord of God.
So
get me down. Get me down.
I don't want to be here.
They're missing their exit.
Exactly. And that is literally just what life is. Just one big fat fucking Ferris wheel you can't get off or you can't get onto.
And you know who's having the most fun? The old couple sitting on the bench
watching this Ferris wheel.
Because they've been on and they've got
off
and they're like, not having that. Yeah. This will do me nicely.
This view right here is lovely. I'll open me sandwich and me flask.
But at 21, you're not meant to know that, babe. And this is meant to feel awkward. And you never said it. The only difference with myself and Sorel is our friendship groups were shading us for it.
Yeah.
We were being made to feel indifferent,
yeah,
or less than because of those slight differences in pathways.
Yeah.
That's not what's happening to you. You are making this more difficult than it needs to be.
Yeah. You take...
Oh, sorry. Life. We've come with a bit of a...
No, we had to come with a bit of... A bit of
21.
You are young. You, and that's 21. Not to invalidate your experience, but that's to tell you we've all been there.
Been
done that.
And with the grace of God and good health, you've got such a long stretch ahead.
And what I would say
is, if you don't go to the club and vomit on your birthday cake, because that's what I did at 21.
Really?
Babe, so went to the club, got stinking drunk all night, then had to pick up my cake from the bakery in Brixton in my nan's car. The lid was off. All over the cake. If you don't find a cake to vomit on, then just pack it up.
Pack it up.
Pack it up. Make your nan go to Eminence and get you another cake.
One. What's it called? Colin the Caterpillar.
Do you know what I mean?
Pack it up. Pack it up. Pack it up.
Vomit on a cake.
Yeah. Like, life is just, that's just life, man. It has its ups and its downs, but you can't constantly be living life looking to your left, looking to your right.
And
what's
again,
she doing?
And this
what's
is coming from two women who have to remind themselves not to do it all the time.
My
we work in industries, okay?
Is just looking.
Where, and sometimes you don't even be looking and knowledge just lands with you.
Yep.
Or someone sees a thing and says, oh, you just got to be so... firm,
yeah,
in your blinkers,
in who you are, and you can't know who you are until you've experienced a bit of life. Like, you just recently I had a moment where I had to gather myself because I was like, I want to be doing this and I want to be here and I want to, and I had to sit down be like, Sorrel,
where did these feelings come from all of a sudden?
Calm down.
Where did these feelings come from all of a sudden?
Just calm
perception,
down.
Taking things in.
Just calm down.
Being unguided, taking the night off.
Like, come on. Come on.
And it's really hard to do sometimes.
It's so hard.
Because especially where certain careers cross over, you think you should be doing this. You think you should be doing that. I often tell people, stop manifesting from your 19-year-old self and try to manifest from your 90-year-old self. Yeah. Walk life backwards.
Yeah.
What would you like to have done? What would you like to have experienced? Yeah. On your deathbed, what do you want that memory bank to look like?
Yeah.
Let me tell you, do one for 19 and do one for 90 and just be so shocked at how different those manifestations are.
Yeah. 100%.
So shocked. You'll just 100%. Be like, oh my God.
100%.
And I please key into your 90-year-old self because that one knows what's best.
Yeah.
Okay? That one has set things aside and stopped looking at other people and understands how, yes, the days can be short, but life is ultimately really long.
Yeah.
And how do you want to play this? At 21, baby, I ain't trying to hear it. Love you, though.
Love you, long time. And you got this. And like...
Wait, that was so mummy of me.
No, but like...
I want to talk to RJ. Get up. Get up.
Yeah. Like, dust yourself off.
You know.
Do you want a juice box?
Do you know what I mean?
This is just life, part and parcel of it. Find a hobby. Let's start
with the one. Get out. Take a different route to school or work.
Get a hobby.
Spice things up.
Get some friends who are also, you know, on the same track as you. Like, you have things that you can control in this situation. It's not the end of the world, I promise.
Anyway, what's said in the closet?
Stays in the closet.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.